If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Happy New Year, friends. Welcome to Podcast Unlocked for the year 2020. It feels like the real future. It's episode 425 for January 7th, 2020. Coming up on this week's episode of the podcast, we'll talk about our holiday breaks a little bit, plus our first pretty concrete ballpark idea of just how powerful the Xbox Series X is, plus some big news down in Los Angeles with specific regard to EA and Respawn and what they're up to down there. All that and more coming up on Podcast Unlocked.
Podcast Unlocked.
What's happening, friends? Ryan McCaffrey, happy to be back with you for, I guess this is my eighth calendar year at IGN, I think, that I'm starting. 2012. Ooh. I don't know, eighth, whatever it is. Yeah. It must be eighth because I've something like that. So it's been a good run. And this year is going to be, I was thinking about this year so much over the break, like how much fun this year is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a lot about that actually before we get going, but introducing the rest of the crew first, Destin Legarry.
Bam!
Freshly honeymooned.
Yeah, Hawaii is pretty amazing. Maui, thank you for all your recommendations. It was wonderful.
I was lucky enough to get to go to Hawaii for the first time in my 20s, like mid-20s, and you know, it's my whole life I'd heard about how great Hawaii is. Yeah. It's like, well, most things in life never end up quite living up to, to that. But Hawaii is every bit as good as everyone says it is. It's such a wonderful place.
Yeah, like if you love shopping and stuff, do Honolulu. That's not my jam. For me, it was all about Maui. It was very like small town feel. You can walk out to the water and swim with turtles. It was pretty incredible.
Don't touch them though. It's illegal.
Yeah, don't touch them. It actually like affects their natural like movements.
It's public service.
Like
just if leave you're ever in Hawaii.
Generally, just leave animals alone.
Yeah, look,
like,
but don't.
Just don't touch them.
Yeah.
Glad you had a great time though. Mark Medina, join us.
Hi. Yeah, I'm going to Hawaii in April.
Nice.
I already got my tickets booked. I'm very excited to go. Destin's been telling me all about it.
Well, it's really funny. Mark and I keep doing this thing where
we wear the same shirt.
We wear the same shirt.
Yep.
Mark bought a car the same weekend I did. We didn't communicate at all.
I remember I came to work. And I was like, Destin, I bought a new car. And he's like, oh, so did I. I was like, cool. And then I bought tickets for Hawaii. And then Destin was like, hey, I'm going on my honeymoon. It's to Hawaii. I'm like, great.
It's kind of cool. I'm excited for you to go.
One of you might want to check your house for bugs and not the insect kind.
It's a little worrisome.
The communication device kind. Miranda Sanchez, happy new year to you.
Happy new year. I am not going to Hawaii this year, I don't think. Maybe next year. I've been planning a solo trip. I just want to go by myself and go right on the beach and drink.
You're going to Jared Petty it?
Have you gone?
Just go.
Oh, I've been a few times. I've been very fortunate to go a few times. But
Jared went. Mm-hmm. And Janet's going.
Yeah, I know Janet's going. She's like, oh, I got good tickets.
I mean, we are
We're in California.
San Francisco. Yeah. It's the shortest flight from the continental United States is from here.
I think our round trip tickets were, I don't know, it was crazy cheap. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it's crazy cheap.
I can put this in context. It's cheaper for me to go to Hawaii than it is to visit family in Oklahoma.
Wow.
Or anywhere else that they live, except for my sister in Seattle. So it's like everyone else.
Tough call.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
For Hawaii?
Oh, the other year when I went home for Christmas, it killed me. I was like, I could be going to Hawaii twice for this price. But,
do they even have spam and eggs in Oklahoma?
I spent some time in Arizona over the holidays with relaxing with my family, and I really enjoyed Netflix's Witcher. The Witcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Just tried to flip them in my head there.
That's according to your Witcher.
The Witcher's Netflix. Now, that's a different thing. I don't know what Geralt watches, but yeah, I know it's like critically, it was kind of, you know, so-so, but I just had fun with it. Did you guys watch the show?
Yeah, I was worried. I was like, I'm not the world's biggest Witcher fan. I'm like, I like them all right.
Yeah, I don't care about the games at all.
Yeah,
really.
I was like, it's fine. They're very long. But I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this show. I don't know if I'm going to like Henry Cavill. I loved Henry Cavill.
Yes, he was great.
And the show, once you get the timeline shtick, it's actually very easy to follow, and I loved it.
I enjoyed it while I was packing and cleaning and moving. Mm. I kind of just had it on the background because I also just don't care about The Witcher at all. Like, I think it's an interesting world, but it's not something that I've ever really wanted to invest 100 hours into playing for The Witcher 3, and I appreciate what it does. But I was like, you know, I'll just put the TV show on. Like, my sister keeps telling me to watch it. Everyone loves it. Critically, it has some issues, and kind of coming out of it, I did not like the timeline stuff. I think it was poorly executed, but I had fun with it. Like, when it was just like, we're going on adventure. And I'm like, that's what I like about it. Like, it did that so well. Mm-hmm. And so I had fun with it too.
Did you throw any coins to your Witcher, Destin?
I have not been watching The Witcher. I started watching this series. It's kind of new. Maybe people have heard of it. It's called The Sopranos.
My all-time favorite television.
Want me to tell you how it ends?
In all seriousness, I'm re-watching it. It's still amazing. Yeah. Still an amazing show. They did really, really well with it.
Good stuff. Well, we've got a million games to play coming up in 2020. I'm still working on my 2019 backlog.
Yep. Same.
Before we get rolling, I wanted to mention a couple things real quick. First, IGN's revised review scale. So when you click on IGN reviews, whether you do so on YouTube or on IGN.com, you are no longer going to see decimal points and tenths of points. We are going with the same 1 to 10 scale, but just without decimal point increments. So this was something that Dan Stapleton, our reviews editor, has been fighting hard for a while. Cause I mean, you might think, oh, well, just sure. If you guys wanted to change it, just change it. It's really IGN's kind of a big, like, cruise ship kind of thing. It takes a while to turn it. You know, there's a lot of things. There's Metacritic, there's our back-end systems of how our reviews functionally work in our CMS and what have you. So
different departments having different ideas on, like, review scores. Not necessarily about, like, what they mean, but just in how we use them and just making sure that everyone's aligned on it.
Ryan, we've been here through two review score type changes.
I know.
Really?
I went through two at back at OXM. So yeah. You know, every now and again, you got to mix things up.
We had a 0.5 scale for a while. So it was like 8.5, 9, 9.5, 10.
I guess I don't remember that.
And then we switched to the 100-point scale for more granularity.
Which IGN originally had as well way back. So
now we're back to 10.
We went from a 100-point scale technically to 20,
okay,
to 100, and now to 10.
Got it.
So if you're keeping score at home of our scores, that's what we're talking about. So I think, you know, fundamentally our review process and our approach won't really change. It's just eliminating the granularity because the difference between 8.3 and 8.4. Mm-hmm. As a reviewer, that's a real difficult thing to quantify.
I've thought a lot about my 0.7s and all these, like, where does this really fit on the scale?
I will say, there are times that I will miss having that extra granularity. Like, I'll give you a good Xbox example. I reviewed the original Titanfall for IGN in 2014, early 2014, and I gave Titanfall 1 in the original shipping version of it an 8.9. Because I just felt like there was the game was the skeleton of it was so much fun. I had not had that much fun with a multiplayer shooter probably since Halo 2. But you know, there just wasn't a lot of there with Titanfall. So I just didn't feel like I could quite call it amazing, which is what our 9 designates. So, you know, that's a case where I thought 8.9 is perfect, where I'm just it's like leaving it right on the doorstep, but can't quite get there. Whereas today, I would have had to have really made a decision between do I want to call this an 8, great, or a 9, amazing. So that is what we'll be doing from now on. But I think the takeaway for the audience listening is it's really look at the word, because we do have we have those descriptor words that associate with every number. So 10 is masterpiece, not perfect. 9 is amazing. 8 is great. 7 is good. 6 is okay, and on down. And that's really when I'm reviewing something, and that's where my brain starts is what word do I think this is great? Do I think this is good? Do I think this is okay? Is it amazing? So hopefully, you can't please everybody. Some of you out there are going to be like, I hate this. This is terrible. Others will be like, great. I love it. It's a little more streamlined and straightforward. So, but we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
It's done.
It's done.
But has any reviews gone up since the change?
I thought so.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about games reviews, but definitely entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Like Dracula went up yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I noticed. Yeah, I was like, oh, it got an 8. And
Mandalorian.
I didn't even think about the fact that yet.
Or Witcher, one of the two.
I think those were pre the change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in any case.
Probably.
Yeah, the change went into effect, I think, on the 1st, right?
On January 1st.
Oh, quick question. Did you guys watch Witcher in one sitting or no?
No.
I did.
No.
That's impressive. I mean, because they're almost an hour apiece.
Yeah.
So that's had it on all day.
That's a binge.
I watched the first two episodes.
Badge of honor for you.
And then I didn't watch it again for like 5 days.
Oh, wow.
And then we watched them all really quick.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's get to the news, which will segue into some other things I wanted to talk about. Let's talk Series X. This is the year of the Xbox.
So excited.
Everything is set up for the redemption arc of Microsoft. The third act I guess it's not a three act. It'll keep going probably for a while. But for now, it's act 3 of 3. And I tell you, I was thinking a lot about this because I had a lot of time to just walk Daisy over the break. And I just kept thinking about the stuff I wanted to do when I get back and all the games I wanted to chase and cover and get onto IGN. And, I'm so ready for this year to get rolling because we've, it was like we talked about towards the end of last year. We've already got a lot of Xbox One games to look forward to before Series X even rolls into town in the fall. But, now we have a little bit better of an idea of just how powerful a console Series X is going to be. So, Mark Medina, do you know what a teraflop is?
I guess sort of.
So it's
it's a breakdown number of if you were to say something is 10 teraflops, it seems like it's like a summary.
of computing
of power.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly right. So
isn't that all numbers?
Nice.
Isn't that just how you define numbers?
It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's like a good thing and a bad thing, because it's very good to be able to say, like, okay, Xbox One is like, I think it's like 5.7 teraflops or something like that.
No, the original Xbox One, I've got it here. So.
Sorry, I meant One X.
Oh, the One X is 6 teraflops.
Okay. And so then when they come to you and they say, the Xbox Series X is going to be, you know, 12 teraflops, you know instantly, okay, so it should be about double the power. But if they came to you and they're like, hey guys, we're using a custom AMD Ryzen 8K project
with ray tracing and these other tricks.
And you're just like, wait, okay, so how much more power? Like, it's kind of easy. The teraflops is like, this is how much more powerful it is. But also, it's a weird term.
There's no context with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's probably the way to say it. But as you said, it is a good ballpark framing just sort of a rough comparison.
They love it on the flow charts. Stadia, 10 versus 6 and 5. And,
yes.
Yeah.
So Digital Foundry, who is...
Heard of them.
They are not known to peddle in crap, in fake news. They are a very reputable outlet, particularly when it comes to all things hardware. That is their specialty. They're very good at what they do. So they published a report that sort of... collected a lot of information together, and even they acknowledge that there's a lot of evidence to suggest that this is reasonably accurate, but it's not an entire picture. But the summary of it is, just to go back to the teraflops, Mark, is that as you noted, Series X may be clocking in at 12 teraflops, putting it double the power of the Xbox One X, and nearly 8 or 9 times as powerful as the original Xbox One, which is a 1.31 teraflop machine. The Xbox One S, if you remember, did clock things up just a tad to get to 1.4 teraflops. In comparison to, again, grain of salt, these are not official numbers yet, but... this is kind of the rough outline that the Digital Foundry was confident enough to go out with. PS5, 9.2. So we're looking at a pretty substantial power gap in the Xbox's favor.
What is the PS5 number based off of? Leaked info or official?
Yeah,
info?
No. It's all leaks. It's all. I'll point you to the Digital Foundry story, because it's a long piece by Richard Ledbetter.
I was trying to set you up for the quote.
Yeah. I did want to read that, because it's definitely, again, to provide a little context here. So they say, it's also worth reemphasizing that the leak is sparse on concrete details in terms of the next-gen Xbox. There are hints about the two processor designs for the Lockhart and Anaconda boxes, but nothing massively conclusive about what separates them. In fact, I understand that there are absolutely no details whatsoever for the cheaper Lockhart box beyond a potential codename for the processor, Sparkman, if you're curious, which is unconfirmed.
The Mega Man boss?
In fact...
it's a main character from Death Stranding, actually. Sparkman.
Oh, don't start with Death Stranding on me, Mark. It's 2020.
Death Stranding in 2020, guys. Come on now.
In fact, what little we can glean about Series X from this leak suggests a top-end, premium-priced console that practically demands some kind of cheaper, mass-market stablemate. And with that in mind, it's curious that nothing substantial about that chip, meaning the Lockhart chip, has leaked. Overall, this latest next-gen leak is fascinating and potentially, again, the key word there, potentially, fills in some blanks, but it's definitely limited in scope, which is what you're talking about, Mark, with that all-important context. The Xbox data raises more questions than it answers in several respects, and while the PS5 data is more comprehensive, the bottom line is that all we really have is more of a block diagram of one component of the processor bolstered by assumptions from PC-based Navi parts. So, again, check out the Digital Foundry piece for more, but that is sort of the overarching summary with again, that huge asterisk on there that this is... not official, but this is kind of seemingly what we're looking at right now.
Well, all I know is that the internet is going to have to change that hand photo that they like to Photoshop of me all the time. Mm-hmm. And Xbox is
Oh, goodness. Why did you remind them? Now it's back.
I still get it all the time. You just got to own it.
You got to own it. That's true. That is.
I did it. Whatever.
So, Miranda, this must make you happy as an Xbox gamer.
It's exciting.
Because, again, you look at – so last gen, the PS4 – Destin is now reminding us all once again. 1.84 teraflops on the base PS4 back in 2013, and the Xbox One was 1.31. So there was the numbers were a lot smaller back then, but there was a power gap between PS4 and Xbox One, which you could see on the screen because
it really bothered me that Xbox One standard games ran at 900. That's why I made that stupid image.
Witcher was the biggest showcase.
Right.
Was like Witcher ran at, it was like 900p on PS4 because that game was so big.
Right.
But then it was 720 on Xbox. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was, you're like, whoa, I got a, big 1080p screen. I'm playing 720 games in 2014.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that, Miranda, is no longer going to be a problem.
Correct.
On the Series X.
No, these,
yeah. Oh, death.
They sound like they're going to be insane.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, again, we kind of keep bringing it back to Lockhart and just saying, it's exciting that there are going to be multiple SKUs for this, and that way, like, you can kind of pick, like, what is your priority here? Like, do you just want to play the next-gen games? Lockhart will be available. But do you want, like, that premier experience? Like, do you have the technology to take advantage of their things that they're going to offer? And then maybe Lockhart's for you. So, or not Lockhart. Series X. So, mm-hmm. so many codenades.
I did that video before the break about the size of the actual physical thing where you did the vertical ones, right? And I was like, I really want to see what it looks like this. It's bigger than my receiver, basically, for my surround sound set. So I will definitely be displaying it vertically. I can't wait to get an actual unit or see an actual unit so we can compare the specs that we landed on. Or you guys landed on
the physical measurements.
For the physical specific
external, not the internal guts.
Yeah, not the internal guts. So, like, I actually do like the design of the Series X a lot. I'm very excited about the power, and it's really interesting that the PS5 is coming out with less.
Seemingly, again, we don't
know.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm. It's really surprising to me because their loading times are lightning fast. Based on that leaked presentation from PS5 last year.
Phil has also said that Microsoft's doing the same thing. With
proprietary hardware.
Yeah, so that with the goal of minimizing or even eliminating loading times altogether. So that's I think, going to be beyond – that's a great example of going beyond the teraflops of – a quality of life thing that will make whichever or both next-gen systems you buy just – a tangibly better experience than what we have now.
There's those rumors of them using xCloud to fill any gaps that they would have in like processing. Like, hey, I want to play, Red Dead Redemption 7. Oh, it's going to take 2 hours, 4 hours to download. I can start streaming on xCloud now and then switch over to the local version once it's done.
Right.
Stuff like that's like really exciting.
Back a while ago, I did a capture of some of the various hard drives in current gen hardware when that Spider-Man video released for the PS5, and the speed increase was a ridiculous percentage. So using Grand Theft Auto as sort of a template, I ran it on PC, PS4 with a standard hard drive, PS4 Pro with an SSD.
Mm-hmm.
And, the speeds that the PS5 is reporting is faster than an M2 drive in a PC. Running Grand Theft Auto, the faster percentage increase. And that's why it's fascinating to me. And if Xbox is saying it has more power and Microsoft, known for developing for PC architecture, is developing this proprietary drive, I'm really curious how this is going to affect loading times overall.
Yeah, I think proprietary is the key word. The thing is the closed box systems we have now, even if you put an SSD in them, which is very easy, those games aren't designed to run with an SSD.
True.
They're never going to. So if you take something like Spider-Man, let's say it takes 30 seconds to load, you put an SSD in your PS4 Pro, it's not going to change dramatically because that is not designed to work like that. It's not like a computer. I can't just swap the parts out. You can, but it's not going to change it. Where these are designed to work with proprietary SSDs, I think that's what's the big game changer.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's just nice that the Xbox is going to be, you know, that they're retaining this emphasis on power that they really, you know, tried to take that back with the Xbox One X. And they did. You mentioned the 6 teraflops on the X. It was 4.2 for PS4 Pro. And Red Dead was probably the best example so far, Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
Of
taking
the difference.
Advantage
of, the difference between that 6 teraflop Xbox One X and the 4.2 teraflop PS4 Pro. So
I think what's wild, just real quick, is like Stadia is, and this isn't to harp on Stadia, this is just off of numbers. Stadia is touting like how powerful they are, and they show that they're 10 teraflops. And it's crazy to think that it's like, yeah, next to the Xbox One X, which is 6 teraflops, it's like, wow, we're at 10 teraflops. We're so much powerful. And a year later, we're getting something that's already 12 teraflops. Like, it kind of puts in your mind, like, how quick, because Stadia's, whatever image quality you get is depending on your internet, but it's fast. Like, you load in, like, Destiny 2, and it's quick. Mm-hmm. And that's, we're about to have closed box systems that can do that now. That's going to be nuts.
Yeah. What I'm very curious about, I mean, we've kind of all been assuming, maybe not, I guess I shouldn't use a blanket statement like that, but, you know, I guess in my head, I've been thinking, all right, well, Series X is probably going to be more expensive than the PS5 if there's this pretty substantial power gap. But I do have to stop and wonder if Microsoft really wants to try to get right back into the thick of things. They've got Game Pass. They're doing all these things right. Might they price the Series X super aggressively and maybe try to match and PS5's price, whether that's going to be $499 or what, and just say, hey, you know, because that's what happened Microsoft was on the wrong end of that this generation, right, where it was, well, they were actually more because of Kinect, but even when they got rid of the Kinect, it was still $399 for the less powerful Xbox One hardware versus $399 for the more powerful PS4 hardware. So I wonder if Phil and the team might be looking at this and going, all right, well, let's just, Microsoft's a very wealthy company. Mm-hmm. Maybe we dig in and we use the Lockhart as the sort of the more profitable box on a per console basis. And we really try to get out there and get the narrative back by price matching PS5 with our substantially more powerful Series X console.
Get that install base up.
Yeah,
let
exactly.
Me ask everybody at the table a question. Ryan, first of all, who goes first at E3? Is it Microsoft or Sony? Do we know yet?
Well, traditionally, it's been Microsoft.
Yeah.
Sony's, well, because Sony's traditionally gone last.
Yep. So
actually, wait.
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Nintendo technically goes last.
Yeah, because they go the next morning.
But Sunday is, or Monday night is Sony's. Yeah. Microsoft.
So anyway, it's always Microsoft.
If history holds, Microsoft would be the one to go first at E3.
So the question I have for everybody, and I'll just say mine first and get your takes, but I think we got a console suite reveal of the Series X or whatever that looks like.
And the Series S, you think? Or?
The Series X and whatever else is in that SKU or like that planned rollout.
Okay.
I think we don't get a price. And the reason I think that is because I think they're going to hold it, wait and see what Sony says because they don't want to get burned like they did with last console gen, and they announce it later like with IGN or somebody.
Yes.
I predict that we'll get a full console reveal before E3. Months
at a,
before.
At a, an event?
At a self-made event.
Okay.
And then we get E3 is all about games. And that's where they show the prices.
Yeah, I don't think they can hold their price. I think they have to be confident in it. They can't just like wait and like, oh, well, we wanted to see what, like, yeah, or do that. Like, they don't want to put themselves in a position like, well, we wanted to wait and see what they said and then add our reaction onto it. I don't think they can do that.
They're going to hold back for Gamescom.
Sure. I think they'll show more gameplay and maybe some other things, like maybe menus or some sort of features. But I don't think they would save their big stuff for that.
The real question is does Sony come back for E3? Like, we don't even know for sure.
I absolutely think so.
I think they knew, like, hey, we don't really have anything in 2019. We're going to save the money and save the time.
So, Destin, I think the issue with holding price is a big one is – My expectation would be is they're going to want to be taking pre-orders at E3 when they give a bunch of details. And you've got to have a price
in
a retailer system to do that. Plus, I mean, they work with they both work with AMD. They both were, you know,
they'll know
what
price.
PS5 is going to cost, and vice versa. You know, so barring some sort of like crazy corporate secrets, like if Phil, you know, tries to play some sort of, you know, switcheroo game, I don't know which, who knows? I don't know how that stuff works, but my expectation is that they'll kind of unofficially know where each other's
at. Because people are going to be seeing E3. They're going to be seeing all these games, and they're going to be like, how do I play these? I need to pre-order.
If you look at E3 now, too, especially for Microsoft, like, it's so fan-focused with, like, they have Xbox Fan Fest, and they make sure that there's something there to celebrate. I remember last year they had pre-orders for the Elite Series 2, and you got, like, a special little D-pad that said, like, E3 2018
on it. Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's no way they don't try to do that with the next-gen Xboxes there. Like, they know, like, these are their biggest fans who came out, who want to be part of this, and, like, why would they not give them the opportunity to do something special there to pre-
I'm hoping we get a Project Scarlet edition, since we got the Project Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could happen.
That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually did it at that event, at the FanFest event, as opposed to at E3. Like, do more, and then focus on games at E3, like Mark said.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
FanFest would be after, though, right? Sorry.
Well, I mean, they could do Inside Xbox. They could do something more fan-focused with Inside Xbox like they have in the past, as opposed to doing FanFest. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just thinking out. Just,
no, oh, it's, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just sort of fun
speculation. You guys do bring up an interesting point about, you know, if you want to make E3 all about the games, because it looks like Microsoft is going to have those this year, which is so great to say. But, yeah, I mean, it's the idea of a pre-E3 event where they – just get all the hardware and maybe even the pricing and release date details out of the way. That's totally on the table. That could happen, whether it's in, you know, February, March, April, May. Could be anywhere in there. And then you get to E3 and it's just, here's Halo, here's Forza 8, here's, you know, here's this one, here's that one, here's a bunch of cool third parties. And maybe it does go that way, but I'm so curious to see how Phil Spencer and the team play it this time around.
Last thing I want to say, though, you know, Sony came out first with that article about the PS5, talking a little bit about the architecture of the system. Today, I feel like Xbox is so far ahead of PlayStation because PlayStation's having all these leaks. Their logo came out and it was kind of fell flat on its face. It was trending because it was just sort of, yeah, okay. That's,
well, here's like it's some news. It's the five.
Yeah.
Some news.
Yeah, but I feel like Xbox, with their marketing plan at the very least, they feel like they're miles ahead. They revealed their console. They have people talking about the Xbox One X, for better or for worse, with like how it looks design-wise. Or maybe it's just because I'm such an Xbox fan.
But you know, I'm more
paying attention.
You do. You segue right into exactly what I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, again, so many dog walks over that nice and quiet holiday break where I was thinking about this stuff is Xbox has spent most of the past 7 years on defense.
Yeah.
They've been back on their heels. They have not had a chance to go on offense because they, you know, they got off on such the wrong foot in May of 2013 is when their nightmare began. And yes, the Xbox One X, they very much have kind of buried that past behind them, but I feel like they are now finally in position to go on offense, and I think, Destin, what you're saying is sort of the start of that, where they went first. I mean, yes, Sony talked to Wired and Mark Cerny about some architectural details, which of course was interesting, and talked a little bit about the controller, DualShock 5, but Microsoft was the first one to actually show the box, show the controller, and show a game. Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, which again, the more I thought about it over the break, I think that was the perfect game. We did see
Godfall or whatever it's called.
That's
not a first party.
Okay, first party.
Also, that was after Hellblade.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
The game, even if it was only minutes.
Yeah.
Is it confirmed that that's only a PS5 game? Or is there a chance that that is possibly coming to Xbox?
I think we don't know yet.
I would have to look into it.
Like, you know, the outro, it's like Sony paid to be like, hey, by the way, make sure you know, this is presented by, or this is on PlayStation 5, just so we can be part of the Game Awards, but like, there's a good chance that that's just coming everywhere.
Very good chance. Certainly. Yeah. But yeah, again, it goes back to Microsoft going on offense. I also think, so this generation still, the consoles came out a week apart.
Yeah.
I think there is a very good chance, I think Microsoft will try to get the Series X out first. It's almost certainly not going to be by much. Maybe it's only a week.
Sure.
I think they're going to try to sneak out to market first because
maybe early November.
Because if Halo Infinite is a masterpiece level game as the Bungie Halos used to be, if Halo is restored to that killer app, oh man, you've got to get this. I mean, yeah, it's going to be on Xbox One and Xbox One X, but if with a 12 teraflop box, if Infinite showcases that power, which if any game's going to do it, it's going to be the flagship game, then, you know, if Microsoft can really, even if it's by 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, maybe Sony ships in PS5 in November and Xbox can get out there in early to mid-October. And, you know, word starts to get around to, like, you know, you start talking to your friends like, man, you've got to, like, yeah, the Halo looks cool on the One and the One X, but you got to see it on Series X. And, you know, maybe it starts to they can go on offense is my point. Between, I'd be stunned if Fable doesn't get announced. I think they put that out there at E3.
I agree.
You show Forza Motorsport 8, which is, with all due respect to Turn 10, and believe me, they've earned a lot of respect. I don't think in general terms, that's not a machine. That's not a game that people buy the console for,
right.
But it's a game that they're absolutely going to want to play once they have that console.
It's like an expectation. It's like, okay, show me the car game. Show me like the best, most beautiful, luxurious graphics you have with these very shiny cars and that water trickling down on the side.
Yes.
Perfect. And that's just what you want to see. And then you're like, check the box.
I mean, you know, they've got Halo anchoring the day one lineup. Forza right behind that. I think there is going to be one other, probably not AAA, but I think there'll be another like AA caliber first party game on day one. I feel like it's not just going to be Halo and Forza, but I went studio by studio in my head as I was walking the dog, and I came up with two. I think there are two likely candidates. One is, the We Happy Few team.
Oh, okay.
Compulsion, if I remember correctly. So, because that game was, or by the time Series X launches, it'll be about 2.5 years. So that's enough time where they're like a 30-ish, they're a smallish, medium-sized team. They could maybe turn around and something, you know, an interesting,
like a shorter experience. It's
like a full, you know, 5 to 10 hour kind of maybe a, you know, narrative-driven thing. So I think they're a candidate that could come in there as that third first party launch title, because remember, every first party game is on Game Pass, so it's only going to sweeten the more first party games they've got on day one, the more that sweetens the pot for anybody trying to decide between PS5 and Series X. And then the other one I think could be on the table is Obsidian, because you have the Outer Worlds team just finished, you have
grown up
sorry, I'm blanking. What is it? Not Grounded. It's
that's what I'm thinking. Grown up. Grounded.
Thank you. I'm going to pay for this in the comments later. But that's all right. I'm a human being. I'm speaking extemporaneously.
Will you pay for it though?
someone will slag me, I'm sure. Yeah. But anyway, that's a game we know is being made by like 12 people. It is not currently a large chunk of the studio working on. That's a smaller project going into game preview in the spring. That leaves, to the best of our knowledge, the Pillars of Eternity team that finished Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire well before the Microsoft acquisition. And that game was, again, like, it'll be, I think, about 2.5 years between when Deadfire shipped and when Series X comes out. It's possible, you know, it probably wouldn't be on the scale of the Outer Worlds, but it is possible that Obsidian might turn around something for launch. Because everybody else, I went down the list, it doesn't quite make sense. Again, Turn 10 obviously has Forza 8. Playground is busy. They've got one team on Forza Horizon 5 for presumably fall 2021. And then the Fable team, which I super don't think Fable is a launch game at all. I think that's down the road, but I do think it'll get announced this year. You've got. Let's see, which are the other two? Anyway, Ninja Theory's on Hellblade 2, of course. Yeah, I just went down the entire list, and everybody else is pretty busy or had just come off of something. So Double Fine is on Psychonauts 2. That was another one I was trying to think of. So
maybe it's something we don't know. Hopefully, like that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Maybe Flight Simulator becomes launch game.
That game looks good.
Because that's been generating a ton of interest, and there's no firm release date on that yet. But anyway, point is, I think there's a third big first-party game, and Microsoft's just in a position where they can really come out swinging instead of when they were back on their heels immediately at the announcement of the Xbox One.
Like, that wasn't Phil Spencer, like, at the helm, and he's a smart guy, and he's done a lot to turn it around. So
sure has.
It'll be interesting to see him from the beginning versus him coming in and kind of, like,
cleaning
lack
up
of a better term, cleaning
did,
up a
yeah.
mess.
No, of course.
One last thing on this topic. Sorry. There is one thing that we might not be considering, and that's the fact that there is a split. Xbox is more Game Pass than anything these days because there is this huge PC audience that might not buy the console, that might just play everything on PC versus playing on Xbox because everything is cross-platform. Recently, Mike Ybarra even said, formerly of Xbox, he said, I'm probably going to play most Xbox games on the PC side. That still helps Microsoft. That still supports them. That's not a slight
part of
them.
Plan.
But I don't know that it's going to be really interesting to see how the console fares. And what audience that is going for.
Our social team actually did something really smart and just kind of asked our audience, like, what are you guys thinking? Like, are you going to just, like, hold off and just build a gaming PC or improve the one you have to, like, play these games? Or are you just going to go with the console? And it was kind of cool to see a lot of people just talk about their feelings about what that is. So, like, for me, even though I have a gaming PC, I prefer to play most of my heavier hitting games on console just because it is so much easier to use. And it's like, if something goes wrong or if there's some graphics setting somewhere that's like loading improperly, like I've had experiences with PCs, but not enough technical experience to like know how to fix that. And it's so frustrating. Like, why is this frame rate dropping so heavily? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to try to figure it out. So like having a console just makes it so much easier. To your point, I think at least it will get a lot of people who maybe are like more PlayStation heavy who also have PCs into Xbox games.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like the most exciting thing is that Microsoft isn't just saying only on this one system.
Yeah.
We can only do it here. They're like, no. We want you guys to experience this on PC as well. And we want you guys to be able to play together too. And that is, I think, really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great point. There's still a lot to be, there are plenty of awesome diehard PC gamers who genuinely enjoy digging in and overclocking their GPUs.
Yeah, yeah.
Much harder, you guys.
and making cool, like, the cool, like, lighting in their cases and just doing all kinds of great stuff. But yeah, I'm kind of at that point, like, in my life, I used to be one of those people. And I'm just, and I have all the respect as a gamer, one gamer to another for those people. I'm just at the point where I don't have as much time in my life to go elbow up to my elbows in my PC anymore. So I would rather just pay the money and get the set top box that connects to the nicest display in my house, which is the TV, not my PC. In my case, it's not my PC monitor. So yeah, there's still, it's Microsoft. They're giving you either option.
Like, yeah.
Whichever door you want to enter through, come on into our tent. That's all they're saying.
Like, I have this issue right now where my screen keeps refreshing randomly sometimes. Like, just the background will refresh. I'm like, why are you doing that?
Just
looking at it.
Wait, it's going black and then coming
back? No, it doesn't do that. It's just like, it's like everything's cycling again. Like, all the files look.
Right.
Because mine keeps,
my Xbox will never do it. So
I open up Photoshop and everything just goes black and then comes back. But to that point, I had the same thing when I was playing a lot of Fallout 76. Like, the game just like wouldn't launch on my computer sometimes. And I'm like, you know where it'll always launch? On my console.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, I remember I made such an angry tweet and I was like, $1,000 you spend on this thing and I just don't get to play this game. People are like, reinstall it. I'm like, cool, I get to play it in 2 hours, And that's not to harp on PC gaming. I just ordered a whole bunch of stuff, but it's,
yeah.
It's work. And that's work what, that's worth it if you want right, to work
it's
for
higher
it.
Risk, higher right. reward, yeah. basically.
And that's what these consoles, what's exciting about these power, it's like they're getting closer and closer to these high-end gaming PCs, but it's something that's manageable. It's simple. It just, you plug it in.
You plug it in, you sync your controller, and you're good to go.
Comfortable and great. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is value in having both.
All right, so we got a lot to, it's going to be a fun year. Stick with us before we move on to the first Unlock Block trivia of 2020. I did want to mention the one other big story. While we're just feeling the Xbox love right now, quick note. Grand Theft Auto V, which is, in my humble opinion, easily one of the 10 greatest video games ever made, and it remains super popular, super active with Grand Theft Auto Online. Yeah. It's still a bestseller. GTA V is in Game Pass now. That's crazy. So if you just picked up an Xbox recently, if for whatever reason you have not played Grand Theft Auto V, it's just there. It's in part of your subscription now, and that's huge.
Oh yeah,
it's a huge get for Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Well done by the Game Pass team for. I don't know if you get Rockstar drunk to get him to sign on the dotted line for now. That's super cool. I mean, that's now just in there if you're a Game Pass subscriber. I love that game. It's so good. Okay. Vince Zampella, you may know him. He's the head of Respawn and the co-creator of some of the biggest games of all time. He has acquired a bit more power at EA. He's, if you remember, Respawn was purchased by EA. So Vince did sell out to EA. After they'd had a partnership for a while. But here's the thing. All Vince has done is gone on and produced two of the most critically acclaimed and commercially successful non-sports games that EA's made in quite a number of years. And he and his team did that in one calendar year last year with Apex Legends.
They had an insane year.
Yeah. And Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Well,
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Respawn has never made a bad game.
That's true. I mean, that's put it on Vince's on his tombstone at this point. Never
I
made a bad game.
I just started playing Apex last weekend, like really actually getting into
just
it.
Just started?
Like I never really played. I played it like once and I was like, I like Blackout better. I think I still do. But I started playing Apex. What a game.
Yeah, just real good.
If anybody was waiting to hear Mark Medina's opinion, Apex is pretty good, guys.
So Vince Zampella is now going to, in addition to running Respawn, as he's been doing, and I know we're starting to run out of time here, but he is now taking over the DICE LA studio, which is not too far away in, I think it's over in Playa Vista, which isn't super far from Vince's digs in Burbank. So, in recent years, they've been a support studio. They haven't, had their name at the top of the credits on any game, but they've been supporting DICE. Well, that studio is now, going to be doing more. So, LA Times reporting, quote, under Zampella, there are plans to expand and launch an original as yet unrevealed game. The company will remain separate from Respawn, and Vince Zampella says likely will drop the DICE name, so they'll be renamed. And I just have to say, I mean, I think this is the smartest move that EA could make.
Yeah.
Because let me give you, to back up Mark's point, let me give you Vince Zampella's track record of games he has been he is either been an active creative lead on or has headed the studio under his direction. So his resume looks like this. The original Medal of Honor back on PC, which I think I'm the only old at the table who actually probably played that game. That was from the late 90s.
I played it.
Thank you, Destin. Fellow olds.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. And then there was Medal of Honor Allied Assault, which was the sort of standalone expansion for that, which was also extremely well regarded.
At one time, Call of Duty and Medal of Honor was very controversial.
That's right.
About which was better.
Well, but that was because Vince and Jason West left 2015, which was the developer that made Medal of Honor, and then they founded Infinity Ward. And, they only made these four games in a row. Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2.
My favorite Call of Duty ever.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 is?
Yes, nice. I love 2. That is my junior.
What a great 360 launch.
That is my junior high, is Call of Duty.
First game I got 1,000 gamer scores.
Those cool volumetric smoke effects, which only the 360 could do at that
huge selling point. Yes. And I love the smoke.
So Medal of Honor, Allied Assault, Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, and then, of course, going on to Titanfall, Titanfall 2, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. As you said, Mark, never a bad game.
No, it's...
And that's not just Respawn, that's Vin Zampella.
It's crazy when you look at this, too, because it's like...
Insane resume.
Obviously, like, Call of Duty 2, that, like, set this, like, standard for, like, first-person shooters. And then... When Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare came out, that's the Call of Duty we know and love today still, is kind of how that game plays. And every game started, you know, mimicking that play style, the fast sprinting, all that stuff. Cause Call of Duty 1 and 2 didn't even have sprinting.
Well, and not only sprinting, but 60 frames per second became the new expected normal in console first person shooters. You could argue that Call of Duty dragged Halo. Into six, because Halo was a 30 frame per second game.
I remember when I was in high school, and there was like always the big battle of like, oh, well, do you in middle school too? Or like, do you play Call of Duty? Do you play Halo? Like, it was always the battle between like which shooter were you primarily playing?
Yeah, but it's like everything kind of started taking cues from Call of Duty 4 and was compared to that. Then Titanfall comes out, and then Call of Duty kind
did
of
a lot
becomes
of
this like Titanfall kind of game with advanced warfare.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Trendsetters, man.
So, I think this is a very, very smart move on EA's part, which is a company that has seen, you know, EA has taken a public beating for years, and a lot of it well deserved, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
But you know, Jedi Fallen Order, great game. No BS in it.
And to be fair, like this is the studio, not EA itself making these games. So like EA doesn't necessarily deserve credit for like, well, we found Respawn. It's like, no, Respawn's been doing their thing.
They deserve credit for not meddling in it.
Yes. It's good that they are letting Respawn do their thing, and hopefully they will let Zampella just do what he needs to with this new studio to let them succeed.
Exactly. Stay the hell out of his way and let him build a new great second team. I think there's a lot of potentially great stuff here. There's reason to be excited as a gamer about this rather than just, you know, roll your eyes at, oh, EA is going to screw something else. I'm like, no, this is Vince is in charge. He's probably going to, he's got to have enough carte blanche there now, or even if the higher ups tried to mess with Respawn or whatever Dice LA is going to get renamed to, he can just be like, no, stay away. So if the new game from the Dice LA team, if they don't want to use Frostbite, odds are Vince is just going to say, yeah, we're not Frostbite. So leave us alone.
Yep.
Cause neither Jedi Fallen Order nor Apex use Frostbite, which the rest of the company does. So,
and Apex is pretty good, guys. It's
real
pretty good.
Real good video game.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Great stuff there. All right. Let's real quick. Let's do our first Unlock Block trivia. Let's get started.
I'm here.
I'm curious how you guys will fare. We start 2020. We already have a listener who's volunteered. He sketched me what he wants the trophy to look like. This is going to be. I love that the trophy just gets. It's like the bar gets raised every year because our audience is so amazing. So, Patrick Carrillo. I don't know if it's Carrillo or Carrillo. I'm not quite sure how he pronounces it. I probably should have asked. But his gamer tag is Taco Tuesday
816. It's a great.
I want tacos.
Tag. That's a great gamer.
Great gamer tag.
And it is Tuesday.
A shout out to his daughter Remington. We wish her a speedy recovery for what she's going through right now. So Patrick sends in this question, which, gosh, guys, I hope this is going to be a layup for all of you. I want to get you all off on the right foot. The original Xbox was announced in 2001 with Bill Gates and The Rock both on stage. You all remember this. Patrick wonders, do you all remember what month that announcement occurred in? Was it in January? Was it in March? Was it in June? Was it in July? Things are very different in the industry back in 2001. E3 takes place in a different month now than it did 5 to 7 years ago. So things change. Do you guys remember?
Why is this a setup in any way?
So I would like to go last because when this happened, I was 7 years old. So Please help me.
Again, I don't know either.
I ended last year saying original Xbox stuff is really hard for me because I was smaller. And just suddenly one day my dad came home with an Xbox. He's like, look what I got. And I'm like, yay, dad's friends at Microsoft. So we can like go to the Microsoft store and get games a little bit cheaper. And so that was like my experience of getting the Xbox. Just like it just happened. And then my life changed. But so as far as the news goes,
I wasn't quite that young, but I was 11. Didn't care much about
all I'm hearing right now are excuses.
These are very much excuses. I'm trying to set you guys up to not be disappointed in me if I fail.
I've seen the image with the Rock and he's standing next to like nerdy Bill Gates. He's got the small sunglasses on.
Here we go. Yeah. I will go first then. Okay. You know what? I'm just going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to go with March.
Oh, March. Okay.
Do you know it, Destin?
No, I was going to say B for bam, but then you said it's a setup, and I'm like, I have no... Well, if it's a setup, maybe he means June or July when E3 normally takes place.
E3 time? I don't.
Yeah, I'll go with C, June, I guess.
I'll be weird. I'll say July, just so...
Cover our bases. No way it's
January,
get
a point.
Right?
I can't imagine it could be January. I'll say July.
What if it's January, guys?
It totally is because it was at CES.
Whoa.
It's CES right now. It was an easy setup.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, you know what?
So we're all still tied.
I feel good about
big
this.
Zeros on the board.
This is great. Everyone has no points.
Patrick, you get bonus points for stumping the panel. They have failed you, Patrick.
I thought it was earlier.
I can picture the event in my head, but I don't remember what event it was.
I knew it wasn't E3. For sure, because I do the E3 Wiki, and I was like, no, they announced
that was sort
there.
Of the giveaway, as if you remembered it was CES, and it's CES this week. But that's
okay.
All right.
Okay.
Everybody, we'll stay tied at zero, and we'll go again next week. If you have an Xbox trivia question you want to try and stump the panel with, please send it in, unlocked@IGN.com. Please include 4 multiple-choice answers, and do note that correct one in your email. And we have got to get going. I've probably got angry coworkers banging at the door trying to get in here to do the next video shoot. But you know what? No apologies, because things weren't ready when I got here. So it's just a domino effect. Can you tell I'm mad about it?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Hopefully they're not too mad. But this excellent first episode of the year, guys. Mm-hmm. Had a great time talking with all of you. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan, if that is of interest to you. Mark?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @Mark_Medina. GDQ week, so watching a lot of people play games real fast. It's good times.
All the Fallouts in two hours.
Yeah, it's a great week to come back to work.
Not 4 Fallouts, 5. New Vegas.
New Vegas is in there.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Destin?
Twitter.com/DestinLegarry. Just check me out there.
Nice. Miranda, take us home.
Yeah, you can follow me pretty much anywhere at Havoc Gross, and let's have a good day. And that's all I got.
Cool. Well, we're going to have a ton of Xbox stuff for you all year long. We're getting warmed up. I don't think I have anything to tease or announce just yet, but stay tuned, of course, each and every week. Our plan is to be here for you about 50 times this year. That is the goal.
It's a big commitment.
50 episodes.
Let's do 35. And then we'll see what goes.
Okay. We're scaling back
we'll
our
peter,
season.
Order. We'll peter out around
No, this is not the year to do that. This
no,
is so important.
We're scaling up.
It's going to be great. We're going to do multiple episodes.
But then, you know, again, I know we've kind of half-jokingly said it, but like this was, we just endured, you know, the down years of Xbox.
Yeah.
Like this is the year that we as Xbox fans and the hosts of the Xbox show at IGN, this is the year we have been waiting for.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to have a great time. Stick with us. We'll be here all year long. And we will see you all next week. Where's that outro? There's that. There's that.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.